T-20 to episode 1000. It's Monday, September 22nd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 980, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a WordPress builder site, domain name, and an Outlook email address for just $1 a month for 12 months, or pick up a domain name for just $1.49. All my specials can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you tonight. Hey, we are in a terminal countdown here. Talk about that here in just a few minutes. But you know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in.
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
A very warm aloha and welcome to everyone to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm just absolutely happy to have you with us for the show tonight. And got a lot of great tech to talk about. Kind of an interesting mix of news and information. So we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But I want to give a very, very warm welcome to all of you. If you're brand new to the show, hey, welcome. And you are now part of the family here. Being that this show is recorded in Hawaii on the island of Oahu, we basically have the welcoming spirit here in Hawaii, and everywhere you go, people give you a little aloha spirit, and they give you the shaka, they give you a little wave, let you in the line in cars and turning, and it's kind of, except for the, every once in a while, road rager, everything seems to be pretty laid back here in Hawaii, and we'd like to be a little bit laid back in the show, but gonna have a lot of fun, and I hope that you'll have fun with us tonight or on the show. And whenever you may be listening to this podcast, whether you be in your car, in the bus, on the treadmill, wherever it may be, I got a lot of good news to share. All right. So anyway, really, this is kind of a cool time. We're 20 shows away from really hitting episode 1000. And it just kind of really, it's like it's taken forever to get here this summer. And now into the fall, we would be very, very close to being at our 100 show for the year within the next 3-4 weeks. But we're still, really at this point, with this show just starting 20 shows away. And so it'll come when it comes. But I'm really excited about being able to put on show 1000 and been actually starting to do a little bit of planning. I normally don't plan this far out, but I am. But we won't focus too much on that because we got a lot to share tonight. Again, for those of you who are brand new, really, we want you to take some time and get over to geeknewscentral.com. And if I can get the screen prepared here for you, we want you to come over to geeknewscentral.com and basically check out all the great content on the website. We want you to get subscribed to the show. And, of course, support our sponsors as well. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes. There's a newsletter link on the website as well. And it's a piece of cake to stay connected here. If you're an iOS user, you just click on the iTunes link. If you're an Android user, you click on the RSS feed with the headset in the second column of the website. And if you have a podcatcher already loaded, it should be prompted to load that. If you don't, get out there and grab the Beyond Pod Android app. It's a great app to use to listen to podcasts, and then you'll be able to subscribe real easily to ours and many, many other shows. And then, of course, the newsletter, there's a link down a little bit further on the website that says important links. But the main thing here is we want you to be tuned in and dialed in so that when I produce this show every Monday and Thursday night and release it Tuesday and Friday morning, you'll have fresh tech content for your ears and or your eyeballs, depending on how you check out the show. Of course, you can watch this show real easily on the Roku, on the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. Even if you're subscribed with Apple TV, you can watch the video portion on the Apple TV as well. And I've been just playing around this weekend, and I actually learned, I was, well, to be honest with you, kind of cleaning up. You can't see it, but behind me is a little less weight. And I was going through some boxes, and I dug down into one of the boxes, and I was like, here's the Apple TV. And it was an older version. I think it was a Apple TV 2 or something like that. And I don't have an Apple TV in the bedroom. So I took it in the bedroom, and of course, it immediately wanted to do an update. And I said, okay, yeah, go ahead, do an update. And it says, don't unplug this while you're using it. And I didn't unplug it, but it bricked itself. And I've never seen an Apple TV brick itself. And I'm thinking, huh, well, that's done. You know, I'm finished. And I came back into the studio here and Googled, you know, basically the Apple TV's asking me to hook it up to iTunes, what to do. And I had never noticed in all the years using an Apple TV that it had a mini, you know, basically a mini jack, a mini USB jack in the back of it. And I didn't even have to plug it in. I just hooked up the USB to the computer and the mini jack to it and loaded iTunes. And like 10 minutes later, this thing's completely updated, reloaded, no longer bricked, and worked like magic. I was just like, huh. If that had happened with while I was doing my Roku or something, I don't know if it would have been that easy to update. But I never knew you could reload the operating system on an Apple TV, but it worked like a charm, and took it back to the bedroom, and it works great. But anyway, so we did a little bit of work around the studio here over the weekend, and plus, big change here. I'll save that for a second, but we really want you to be able to get hooked up with the show, and you can do that multitudes of ways, and you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, all the places to watch or listen to the show. Just Google Geek News Central, and you'll find the show right from Google itself. So don't worry, there's plenty of ways to connect up, no matter how you found us in the first place. And of course, this show is sponsored in part by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com, and they added a deal. It came in on a Friday, and I was kind of surprised. I didn't know this was coming. So what they've done, and the promo code's kind of interesting, GNCGOT, the GOT, GNCGOT. And what they've done, and again, you can find all of my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And what they did is, and I should have flipped this way, they put together a deal where you get a domain, website builder, and this is really good for businesses. You get a Microsoft Outlook email address, all for just $1 a month for 12 months. GNC got. So this is, you know, here it is. Everything you're really going to need. Website with all these business tools. You're going to have the ability to get an email address tied to the domain name that you're going to be using. And you get all this for $1 a month for 12 bucks for a year. Again, a domain, website builder, everything that goes along with that website, being able to build your own, you know, property, and the Microsoft Outlook email address, all for $1 a month for 12 months. GNCGOT is a code there. Now, of course, the other codes remain in effect. The 30% off all new orders, GNC30. That's a big one. That's a big one. All new orders, GNC30. Geek149, get a .com for $1.49. on new or transfer domains, okay? Also, the managed WordPress hosting with a free domain and the $1 a month economy hosting. So everything's $1. You notice that $1.49? and then the 30% off deal. But there's a bunch of codes here. GNCGOT, press 4 for the WordPress, geeks with an S, 12 for the $1 a month economy hosting. And you even still have some of those 50% off codes, too, that includes a free domain. Those are still valid as well. So search the website for the best deal at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to use the codes, okay? Use these new codes. Use them. Share them. Tell people about them. Help them save money. Got someone that's having a birthday, anniversary, put them up a website. For goodness sake, it's just going to cost you $12. That's the cheapest anniversary present you could ever buy. You know, put something up for your parents, your siblings, a best friend, a wedding site, baby shower site, anniversary. You just name it. You can. A lot of people now are when they're getting ready to get married, they'll buy like it's okay. Like my last name obviously is Cochran. Like Cochrane wedding something. And so they're buying a little longer domain, but they're buying up just a website that can show off all their bridal shower, their pictures for the, you know, the practice, the night before dinner, the actual wedding itself, then the reception afterwards, honeymoon pictures there, you know, we put that, that's a, like a life event that they're putting up on a website, and that's just one website. So there's all kinds of cool things you can do. And, you know, it's not, we're not in a state now where you have to have all this expense to go through to launch a website. It's easy peasy. They've made it so that you get templates and everything else. So you really can have a domain and a site for every occasion. Now, you're not, if you're just going to make a every occasion website, you're not going to have to go out and find the perfect domain. You know, it's like such and such family reunion 2014, or you be creative, and it's amazing what you're going to be able to come up with. And, you know, I put a WordPress site up the other day, literally in just a couple of minutes. I picked a template and did a couple of quick things. Matter of fact, the live.geeknewscentral.com website, you know, really, that's, and that's as basic as it gets, folks. You know, what that is a header, menu item on top. It's got the live graphics, should have brought that up, the live video embed in a chat room. So easy, you know, easy to set up. And a single page website, that's all that is. Total time to, you know, launch, setting up the template and getting it up, maybe tops 20 minutes. And so a piece of cake. So anyway, you guys check out GoDaddy, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Use all my promo codes. Again, share them. And you just, you know, think about every occasion that you can have. Definitely check out the disclosures when you're over on the website. Make sure you check out what it's going to cost you after that 12 months so that you're not getting into something that you regret later. Just make sure you understand the entire offer. And look at the regular pricing it costs before the deal's being added on, all right? Okay, so that's where we're at here this evening. From a sponsorship standpoint, I want to thank GoDaddy again. All right, it's terminal countdown to 1,000. Boy, you know, it'd be real cool if we had this, you know, this countdown audio, you know, something really, really cool. But we're not the Casey Kasem show. Of course, God rest his soul, he's no longer with us. But it's no longer having this, the top 40. We're down to number 5. You know, if someone wants to get creative and help me out, that'd be cool. But for now, it's going to be just me, T minus 20, T minus 19. And so anyway, looking forward to the 1,000th show and get you guys just in the mood that we're fast approaching that. Some of you have been here since single or even double digits. And all of you guys have been here since single and double digits, man. You all deserve a medal. And then what I want you to do is I want to start hearing from all of you. And this is very important towards the tribute we're going to do on show 1000. The tribute's going to be largely to you. So I want to hear from all of you and tell me what, you know, what episode you came in at, if you remember, or what year, approximate time, date, and so forth. And the memorable moments you thought about the show, you can send those to me on email, geeknews@gmail.com. And I'll save all those 1,000th show comments to show 1,000. I have a special folder form and we'll go through it. And it's a good, really, show 1,000 about you guys. You guys have earned it hanging out here for that many episodes. Also, what's going to happen beyond show 1,000? That's something I've been thinking about a lot. I don't think many things are going to change. I think we'll be right here doing 1,001. But maybe it's time for a little change. I don't know. I don't think so. But who knows? What's going to bring over the next 1,000 shows? Also, I did state that FedEx delivered my new Dell computer on Friday. Actually, I picked it up Thursday night before the show. And then, I picked it up Friday. Yeah, I picked it up Friday. And got home and immediately went to work. I'd already done the pre-work and having everything ready to move. So by about, you know, moving from a Windows machine to a Windows machine, it's not, you know, Mac definitely makes it easier in reinstalling stuff. You just go through and you kind of like click, 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 click. And there's some migration tools you can use with Windows. But every time I've set up a new machine, there's certain things that I've had to put on. And luckily, I had multiple licenses of Norton. So I loaded Norton Antivirus and got the basic stuff loaded right away. But then you're like, man, that program hasn't been updated in 5 years. Let me go buy that update. And so you go through and the next thing you know, like, whew, man, I'm $200-$300 in. Because of the basic tools. And then the biggest change, the biggest thing that actually, my thing that pissed me off the most, that I really wasn't happy with, I kind of made one of these midnight decisions. Well, let's go with Office 365. And in retrospect, I think that was a mistake. Now, I don't know if I didn't have any other choice, but I paid $99 for a year for that. Seems like we're doing a lot of that now, right? I had Office 2011 on the machine before. I wasn't paying anything for annually. And I'm not super pleased with this new, you know, I type something in Word and it's like, it's slow. It's like it's behind. And I'm like, what is this? And I don't know if it's because of the cloud stuff or what, but, you know, the program's loaded on the machine, but it is not the same experience. It really, really isn't. And maybe after this 1 year, maybe it'll be I'll be a Google Docs guy permanently at that point. It's just the Office has lost its appeal to me. And it's, you know, I got a beautiful machine. It's a screamer. But when it comes to, you know, stuff like that, I want quick response. I want to be able to and not see like this delay of the text coming behind. It's almost weird to a certain extent. But anyway, I don't know if any of you experienced that at Office 365 or not, but I surely did. So long story short here, really it was about getting the machine ready for basically Saturday morning show. Which I did. I had everything ready, and I spent kind of Saturday in cleaning up. Oh my God, all those archive things that you keep, and I'm like, I haven't been in this folder since 2009. Do I need this? No, delete. So I probably deleted, 200-300 gigs worth of old junk off, and did have a final. You know, I did do a final backup of that. You know, 800 gig file, and then I started deleting it. And I do have a copy that I'll keep stashed away, but it's just like, I'll never go into that stuff again. So in 5 more years, I'll delete that file itself. But it is interesting to clean up a computer after really it'd been about 6 years since we've done a desktop update here, which is, to me, was pretty incredible. Actually, 5 years, because I bought the machine in early 2009 that replaced the one that's sitting here on the desk now. And very, very happy so far with it. Okay, so let's talk just a little bit here. Of course, on the New Media Show on Saturday, I was the actual guest, which is kind of weird. I hosted, but I was also the guest. Rick Calvert and Rob kind of questioned me on Podcast Awards, and we basically talked about everything past, present, future that you'd ever want to know about the Podcast Awards for 90 minutes. I don't know how we talked 90 minutes on that topic alone, but you guys know me. And then that's basically was the extent of the weekend. Took a little time down on Sunday and spent with the family and relaxed. But anyway, that brings us today. I do want to take some time at the beginning of the show tonight before we get right into the stack, which I'm going to do here in just, I promise you, just a few minutes. And I want to thank the following GNC 1000 insiders, the folks that have basically are supporting the show financially, and give them their proper due and titles. And again, you can come over to geeknesscentral.com/insider. And if you want to support the show financially, we definitely appreciate it. If you feel I'm giving value for value, please consider doing so. Again, there's multitudes of levels. Everyone is part of the Ohana here. And whether you make a donation or not, Warrior level is at $60 per year. Kahuna is at $125. Big Kahuna. And basically, the Kahuna means like the chief. You know, here in Hawaii, where, you know, this was a kingdom before, and chiefdoms and monarchies and everything, but the big kahuna is at a $250 level. The Atli level is at $500 per year. Warrior Council will be 1,000 per year or more, or actually 1,000, and we're going to have that as actually a lifetime. And King's Court is, again, $5,000 lifetime contribution to the show. So we're going to be inducting several folks into the Warriors Council on show 1,000. So if you'd like to be fast-tracked into that, you know how to do that via PayPal. And we're definitely going to be awarding the folks that are part of our Warrior Council a special gift for being such a big contributor of the show. And we've got several people that have contributed consistently over a past number of years and hit that level of $1,000 for a lifetime contribution to the show. So we'll definitely be doing that. But if you want to fast track, you can do that right on the website. And otherwise, everyone else, keep trudging away. And we appreciate your ongoing support. We really, really do. Okay, so Warrior Chris, Big Kahuna Todd, Ohana Dave, Ohana Mike, Ohana Deb, Ohana Ken, Kahuna Gary, Warrior Michael, and Ohana Richard. All of you guys, thank you for your contributions to the show. I definitely appreciate your ongoing support. And of course, just as well as everyone else, we want to thank you for your monetary support here and supporting Geek News Central. All right, let's go ahead and get into the tech. And I've been spending a lot of time to begin the show chit-chatting with you guys. I've been feeling like that, you know? And part of it is, you know, part of the appeal that's, you know, if you're new to the show, part of the appeal that this audience has learned over the years is, you know, I try to share with you guys what's going on here with the family. My wife kind of cracked down on me just a little bit in the past on sharing too much. But, you know, I was talking with her about it the other day, and I'm like, you know, there's a little more we have to kind of share from time to time because, you know, you guys are part of the family here. But everyone's doing good. Of course, Ray is a senior this year, doing good in his classes, filling out scholarships, and he's thinking about becoming a doctor. So we'll see where that leads. My youngest is playing the cello and doing what he does, going to be getting ready, going to middle school next year. And then, of course, Anna is in her first year of college and learning that routine. She's doing okay so far, keeping up with her. Yeah, it's all those 100-level classes. So, so far, she's got a pretty skate schedule from a workload standpoint. And my wife is also working within the schools, doing some assistant-type stuff and volunteer from time to time. But other than that, that's kind of what's going on here on a day-to-day basis. So let's go ahead and move into the stack. you know, every time, you know, we see stuff on TV. And, you know, what did, you know, what's some of the stuff we've seen that we've laughed about? You know, the Terminator, right? And I'll be back. And you know, what did we see? We saw liquid metal before, right? That was a... You know, it was shape-shifting and could rebuild itself. Well, according to Gizmodo, foolish scientists have just created shape-shifting metal. And with movies, works of fiction, the plots are based on real-world ideas. So we know that the nightmarish future put forth in Terminator 2 may very well be fast approaching us here. The T-1000s, this may be the beginning of what could become a T-1000. So they found a way to control and manipulate liquid metal. So I'm just wondering if these guys really watched the movie or not, but it makes you go, just a tit bad, a tip, a little bit of a, you know, a little tidbit for a better word. But I saw this tonight and I was just like, oh my God, you know, it's pretty funny. It really, really is. Hey, you guys know I'm a big fan of Monoprice and, you know, it probably a month or two doesn't go by and I order something from them. And they're not a sponsor here. They're not paying me to promote them at all. But if you guys are looking for a new pair of earbuds and you want some easy, cheap, gifts that are pretty cool. The Monoprice 8320 Enhanced Bass Hi-Fi Noise Isolating Earphones have got like a little cult following going on. And I read about this on a website at Lifehacker today. And I'm talking about this particular pair of earbuds. I guess have gotten, you know, pretty good reviews. So at $6, you can't go wrong with these. So, you know, my kids are always busting, losing earphones all the time. And so I picked up five. I ordered five today and I'll have them come in. And it's one of those things I'll stick in the drawer and it's like, invariably in a month from now, Dad, do you have a set of earphones I can use? And I'll pull out and I'll be like, yes, give me $6. And that's how you solve that. And, you know, you have that, you have a little store in your own house. You can even do that with your kids. So this is what I'm going to do with mine is when they come begging for earphones like they always do, I'm like, yeah, I've got a set here. Give me $6. And it should work out fine. But definitely check out the Monoprice 8320 earbuds, $6. You can't beat them. And again, they don't pay me a penny to talk about this stuff, all right? So just to let you know, they should, as much of a fan as I am of their company. And this one here is, you know, there's always some comedy when it comes to Comcast and Time Warner and so forth. And today is no different. Before I say that, I want to tell you guys that the trade winds are, I can actually, they predicted they were coming back today. We haven't hardly had any trade winds here in Hawaii for the last 2 weeks. And I know you feel sorry for me, but we had some incredible, like 90, 91. That's unheard of here. 90 or 91, yeah, but sometimes we'll have a nice, you know, 15 mile an hour trade wind. But 90 or 91, high humidity, it's been miserable for 2 weeks. Yesterday, I was, you know, basically a t-shirt, a very thin t-shirt, and a pair of shorts yesterday around the house. And I was like, it was not fun. It was just hot and sticky and yucky, but the trades are back. I'm feeling coming in the window. I'm like, yes, 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 finally. But let's get back to the Comcast story. Comcast FCC, this is what they're saying. We already face enough competition, so let us buy Time Warner Cable. Oh, man. Comcast said it faces competition from municipal broadband networks, though the telecom industry has pushed state governments to pass these. You know, we've got competition with Muni Broadband. Yet Comcast and Time Warner have been the biggest, biggest groups putting money against Muni Broadband. So it's like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They really are, and it just cracks me up. Comcast also described a competitive threat from the phone companies, which are upgrading DSL to fiber and appear well-positioned to offer highly competitive broadband speeds well into the future. We have one of the most advanced fiber networks in the world here in Hawaii, believe it or not. It shouldn't surprise you. You know, we're an island. It should be easy to deploy, right? So, we've got fiber. Matter of fact, the closest fiber to my house is less than maybe 1,000 feet away. That's where the box is, where fiber comes in for my neighborhood. Now, we all know that getting that fiber to your door or in your wall is really the most expensive part of the deployment. But the cable company here, Hawaiian Telecom, they offer broadband. But the highest speed they offer is 12 megs down. Now, that's bundled. You have to buy the cable, the television, and basically you have to buy the television, the television, telephone, and internet. You have to buy all three. It's a bundle deal. You just can't buy the 12 meg down. So what I deal with here is I'm still on my secondary connection. I still use a DSL connection. And you guys know that DSL is not that great. So, you know, I've got 100 megs down, 5 up on Time Warner Cable. I've got 3 megs down, if I'm lucky, maybe a meg and a half up on the DSL connection as a backup. So is there competition? No, there's not competition. Do you have competition in your town? If you do, you're lucky. You're lucky, lucky, lucky. Consider yourself lucky. Now the FTC Commissioner Tom Wheeler is obviously FCC Commissioner Tom Wheeler is obviously not likely to buy Comcast arguments. In a speech on September 4th, he pointed out that 3/4 of the nation had at best one choice of broadband provider offering at least 25 megs of service. And at 4 megs and 10 megs, most Americans have a choice of just 2 providers. So I don't even have a 4 meg provider secondary here in Hawaii. So the more, as much as Time Warner pisses me off from time to time, I think my opinion at this point is I hope they don't approve the deal. What will this mean? I don't know. But I'm at this point, this is kind of where I'm sitting. I initially was really excited about it. You guys remember. And I was really thinking about the acquisition. I thought this is going to be great. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, nope, I don't think so. So anyway, long story short, that's just funny. We have competition. man, they can lie out of both sides of their mouth. Okay, another thing. Hey, I know there's no one here that has ever been fooled by anything. I know one here has never considered it, but microwaves and cell phones do not mix. Now listen. There's a hoax going around, and someone that you know, or maybe through a third party you know, is going to do this. The hoax going around the internet is instructing people to put their iPhone, their new iPhone 6, in a microwave in order to charge it. Now, let's be very clear here again. Let's be very clear. Do not put your phone in a microwave, okay? Because it will cook it and kill it. Oh, my God. An image circulating on Twitter describes one fun exclusive feature that's definitely not included in iOS 8. It's called Wave. What is Wave? Well, Wave is our latest and greatest addition to iOS 8. Wave allows your device to be charged wirelessly through microwave frequencies. Wave can be used to quickly charge your device battery using any standard household microwave. No, it doesn't. And I think a few people have done this. We know this is a hoax, long-standing hoax. Some folks tried this prank and actually fell for this. So, people hoax and were actually fell for this. So make sure we don't do that. Okay. Oh, people are mean. They are really, really mean. Hey, Foxconn, of course, the company that's it's building about 500,000 of the iPhone 6s are a day. They're saying that their Foxbots, which is a robots, are reportedly not performing up to par. And they've had to, not super happy with the automation that's going on. So they've had to basically replace some of the machines with people. And they're going to have to look at the next gen to hopefully do what they need to do. I'm really curious. We haven't actually put our order in yet for the iPhone 6 Plus. What do you guys think? Those of you that have it, is it too big? Are you regretting buying the bigger one? Because I'm hearing, and I got to get to an Apple store and actually touch one of these things before we put the order in. But is it too big? Are you guys finding that the phone is too big? Are you happy with the size? Or would you wish you would have bought the smaller one? I really love to hear from you guys, and I really value your opinion. So drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com, okay? A lot of people are complaining about the fisheye battery basically getting caught. Not fisheye, but the battery. The camera lens getting caught. So anyway, I'll just, you guys fill me in, okay? Please let me know one way or the other. Okay, so let me go on here. Rackspace has turned a patent troll into a no longer patent holding troll. Rotable Technology is now an ex-patent troll, Rackspace VP of Intellectual Property. These folks tried to shake Rackspace down for $75,000. They said no sale, and they basically filed a, went after them via the USPTO and had the actual patent invalidated. So just a heads up that this review process is working out pretty well right now. It seems MIT is in the news all the time about states and lawyers and students. But MIT students battle a state's demand for the Bitcoin miner source code. Four MIT students behind an award-winning Bitcoin mining tool, which is no longer on the internet, not available to be used, was never finished, will face off against New Jersey state authorities in court when they attempt to fight back against a subpoena demanding their source code. The FF is representing 19-year-old MIT student Jeremy Rubin and three classmates. In a pretty remarkable case, it stands out for their measure of aggression the state is using to tame code and identify anyone who might have tested the mining tool. And basically what it was is it was a tool designed to basically set behind a web page. And basically, upon web page loads, it would mine for bitcoins for that website owner. And then ultimately, based on the amount of traffic your website would get, would be the number of bitcoins that you would be able to harvest. And at the same time, you were you didn't have to run ads on the website. To me, it sounds pretty brilliant, really. But they're not happy with this. I read the article like twice, and I still don't understand why the state of New Jersey's not happy with this. Anyway, we will see where this leads. But it seems like they're always going after students at MIT for doing innovative, cool things. It really is repressive for schools trying to make people think outside the box. Down in New Zealand, Kim.com election defeat. Of course, Kim.com himself wasn't running for an office because he's not a citizen of New Zealand. But his internet party, Mana Party, failed to win a seat as Prime Minister John Key's National Party increased its majority. The brand, Kim.com, was poisoned for what we're trying to achieve, the German-born entrepreneur said. Of course, he's still facing extradition in the United States, but they tried to launch what's called an internet party. It was a political group that pledged to end government surveillance of New Zealand citizens, a stance beyond buoyed by allegations made by U.S. intelligence leaker Edward Snowden. As a foreign national, of course, .com could not himself run for election, so he instead appointed trade unionist Lyle Hare as leader, and they got their butts kicked in the election. So wasn't able to gain any seats whatsoever down there. So they... I guess that's come to an end. We'll see what happens. Also, there's a saga about a guy that bought an iPhone 6 Plus. He got it, realized 24 hours after he got it that he got the wrong one, it was too big, tried to trade it, and ultimately he couldn't. He had to get back in line, and Google said, well, he got 14 days to return it and make the exchange, and you guys know the availability of phones right now. So what he did was instead of just putting it up on eBay and selling it, he put something up on Craigslist and for a little bit of money swapped with another person, someone that wanted a big one that got a small one, and he was able to make it happen. So there seems to be a little bit of that going on, a lot of iPhone 6 Plus regretters, and then some people that regret not getting the big one. So the trading is working out pretty well at this point for those that basically... bought the wrong phone. He was just worried about dropping it. You know, he says, I'm just scared to death of dropping this thing. And I got to thinking about that a little bit too, because I've always had a case for my phone, and I've got a Mophie on mine right now. And, a bigger phone, you have a more chance of dropping it. So, you know, I like to prop my phone up on my knee all the time. And with a bigger phone, maybe that... won't be a smart thing to do. So with cases for the iPhone 6, it's going to get that much bigger. I'm just going to have to go look at the form factor, I guess. I need to do it myself. And I didn't do much this weekend, so it's my own fault. But love to hear guys' feedback. All right, Google has been approved to have 25 vehicles drive on all roads in California. So again, Google won 25 DMV permits for testing autonomous vehicles. Audi and Mercedes each received 2. That's kind of an interesting thing. Google got 25, and Audi and Mercedes got 2. It makes you go just a little bit, doesn't it? So that's cool. They're going to be driving a lot more on a lot more roads. So on any public road, the state of California. So this is cool. Total 29 is going to be roaming the state. So nice to see what happens with this. Cannot wait to have a car take me around town. Hey, the FTC, this is on the pharma side, and this is really important. Did you guys know that there was pay for delay? Not pay to pay, pay to play, pay for delay? Well, the FTC is going after pharma companies over pay for delay deals. For some time now, pay for delay scandal has been going on, whereby a big pharma company buys off manufacturers of generics so that the former can continue to enjoy monopoly pricing long after its patents have expired. So there's a lot of drugs out there where there still isn't a generic, and it's largely because of this pay for delay. And they're able to charge a much, much higher price when they're the only game in town, and they just basically pay the folks who are making the generic, you just write them a check every year. And pretty cool business for the generics, right? I don't have to do nothing. I just get a check. One of the ones that they're being sued over is Androgel. It's a testosterone replacement therapy. It's a $1 billion seller that its patents expired. There should be generics out there, but there's not. So the FTC is finally after this problem. And it's regrettable they had to wait this long for a ruling here. And basically, the Supreme Court has ruled, it allows them the legal basis for pursuing pharma companies. So the Supreme Court says you can do it. You're authorized to do so. So this is big ruling here. So they're going to go after them in a big way now. All right, this next one, I got my head scratching a little bit, and I'm going to have to do some more exploration of YouTube. But apparently, a survey was done, and this makes me go, huh? Because I just don't get this one, but a survey was done, about 3,500 people, and they basically said YouTube is the most popular source for online TV. And I'm like, huh? Come on, don't give me an ad. I don't need a Verizon phone. I already have one. And for those of you listening, I was waiting for the screen to clear so I could show the viewing audience. But, it's a 2,400-person survey. And basically, they asked people to check off a list of websites they use for watching online TV. 38% checked YouTube, followed by 33% for Netflix. Hulu came in with a distant third at 17%. Amazon Prime was checked off by 14%. At the same time, the research shows that 32% of Americans watch online TV daily. That's up 10% from 2 years ago. Just this fact alone should make the broadcast people shudder a little bit here. But at face value, you would indicate that YouTube has gained real traction with viewers and not just for short cat videos. Okay, so they say they're watching TV. So I'm assuming this is where it's tricky. I didn't know you could watch TV shows on YouTube. Am I completely missing out on the boat? Because generally, if I go to Netflix or I go to Hulu or if I use my Amazon Fire TV, there's a certain number of TV shows that are available via those devices. Sometimes they make you pay for an episode or a season, but I didn't know those same episodes were available on YouTube. If it is, it makes me sit back and go, and I'm definitely going to be looking for it. But then again, my definition of TV and cord cutter's definition of TV may be two different things. Maybe people are watching other serialized content. I was kind of surprised on this number. I put my stuff up on YouTube. I guess you're watching TV if you're watching me on YouTube, if you're doing it with your set-top box. So, very cool. All right. In my younger years, I used to be more of a music aficionado than I am today. And I'll be honest with you. I listen to, I like metal. You guys have been listening to the show for a while, know that. I like rock. If there's such a thing as classic rock, I don't know. I'm an 80s child, and it's like, Queen, AC/DC, Def Leppard, Pink Floyd, it's, on and on and on, Metallica, I love that music. And, my wife is a big fan of Pink Floyd as well. The stuff, is good, right? You cannot beat a certain mood for a certain Pink Floyd album. It's where it's at, right? So apparently, one of the music's greatest bands is rising from the dead again. And, you know, they did a comeback tour in 2005, and we thought that was really the end. But an announcement earlier this summer that Pink Floyd was preparing to release never-before-heard music is pretty exciting for all of us Pink Floyd listeners. But apparently they've got some tracks where they were doing some instrumental stuff. They're going to be releasing. So this is from a session in 93, which makes me go, yeah. So we'll see where this goes from a quality standpoint. I can't wait. I guess we'll see what happens here. But, you know, really the band was pretty much pow in 1995. Now, Roger Waters left the group in the 80s, and he was, you know, hugely instrumental in Pink Floyd and was, you know, a large part of their success. So very, very cool stuff. Anyway, so just wanted to share that with you as non-techie thing, but I saw that in the news today. I was like, oh, could it be true? Over on PC Mag, you know, they're very good at hiding reviews and writing good headlines. But what it kind of connected me to an article that they wrote today was something called Wink Connected Home Hub. And I'm really looking at home automation a lot now. And I'm actually starting to ask vendors, please send us more home automation stuff for reviews. I've been doing a lot of smart monitoring. I kind of got that down. Now I want to expand into more stuff. And you know, there's a number of home automation hubs now on the market. You know, there's really not one hub that rules them all. The Smart Hub at $99 by Amazon is, in my opinion, pretty good. But it doesn't support every connectivity protocol available. And this is what makes Wink Connected Home Hub, $49.99 Amazon, pretty appealing. Not only does it offer support for more products than any other hub, but at $49, it's also the least expensive option available. And there's a lot of potential here for Wink to become the ultimate digital home hub in the future. There's a few issues that are still holding it back. But reading everything here that the folks at PC Mag had to say, and I'm kind of like, wow, this could be, they may be onto something here. So what are you guys doing for home automation? Are you putting any of these automated tools in, like SmartThings Hub, or have you considered doing that? Or are you just connected enough you don't want to connect your home anymore? The next thing they're going to be doing is they're going to be, hooking monitors up to our toilets to do whatever sensors they can do there. It's going to get to that point, I think, with everything. But it's kind of cool. Home automation, just like the Jetsons, you know, that you come home and stuff starts happening. All right, the UPS store. How many of you didn't even know that reference? If some of you are maybe don't even know what I'm talking about, the Jetsons, that's definitely showing my age when I talk about that. All right, UPS announced plans money to bring in-store 3D printing to nearly 100 stores across the country, billing itself as the first national retailer to do so. So this is pretty cool. They're going to be, like an iPhone case would be about $60. If you were wanting to print something bigger, it could go as high as like $300. So it takes about 4 or 5 hours to print a simple object, with more complex items taking a day or more. And I wonder how that's going to work out when, you know, 10 people come in and say they want something printed and they've only got one machine. But this will be something available in the UPS store if you don't have your own device. Google's best iOS app just got even better with a big update. And, you know, I love the Google apps on iOS. They're very, very strong. You know, Google does a good job. So make sure you update your apps. Be aware of that. Definitely graphics improvements, so forth, available. Let's see. Got him out of sequence. It's okay. We'll cover the rest of the Apple stuff here in a few minutes. How many of you weight loss? And by the way, I'm about ready to start another 10-day round with Perium and see where we can get on this next go-round of losing weight. Fell off a wagon just a little bit. Still at about 210, 209, 210 from a weight standpoint. But definitely past week or so, have not been sticking to the food plan as good as I should. For those of you that wanted an update on where I am on my Perium update, myperium.com /podcast. Use the promo code podcast for $50 off. But I'll be doing the next 10-day round here soon. But I know that program works, and I understand the science behind it. But many folks have looked for all kinds of different dietary supplements or ways to try to lose weight. And there's a company out by a company called Roca Labs. It's a dietary company with a claimed alternative to gastric bypass surgery. It's made up of made up of some ingredients that they claim will expand and fill your stomach. So it's one of those type of things. Oh, we'll expand your stomach so you don't feel like you're hungry. When you buy the product, the company offers a discount if you agree to never, ever, 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 ever say anything bad about the company. Check this terms of service out. If you agree for the discount, they say you agree that regardless of the outcome, you will not disparage RLN and or any of its our employees, products, or services. That means that you will not speak, publish, cause to be published, print, tweet, review, blog, or write negatively about RLN or our products and or employees in any way. You further agree that in an effort to prevent the publishing of libelous or slanderous content in any form, your acceptance of the sales contract prohibits you from taking any action that negatively impacts RLN, its reputation, product, services, management, or employees. This is what you agree to when you take a discount for this folks from Roca Labs. And people are fighting back. It is not pretty. It's going to court. There's a website that's going to court against them and so forth. It's Pissed Consumer is a website that's going after them. This is big. So definitely check this out at roca-labs.pissedconsumer.com. But stay away from this Roca Labs company, folks. A doctor did some review on their products, and wow, oh wow, may not be advisable from a health perspective, in my opinion, that you do that. And of course, of the opinions of the pissed folks, pissedconsumer.com, doctors that reviewed the product. So be careful out there, okay? SanDisk. Extreme Pro SSD is obviously not a company that you would think would make SSDs. You know, they make memory sticks, but we've never really thought of them as an SSD maker. Well, SanDisk has got a 10-year warranties on their new SSDs. And this is pretty incredible. They've got some great benchmarks on their product. And they show the results and the type of benchmarks they're getting. But their 480 gigabit SSD is, let's see if we can get a dollar amount here. It's about, oh, come on, how come you're not showing me dollars? You're showing me, looks like euros. Can't be right. Oh, this is not, of course, I'm looking at a register site, so it must be pounds. 400 and whatever that conversion is, about 260 pounds for the 480 gig version, but a 10-year warranty on this thing. You're not going to get a 10-year warranty on a spinner hard disk drive. That's the only thing I don't not happy with this machine is it didn't come with an SSD. So at some point I'm going to have to make the transition. I'll make an image file and copy it over and transfer to an SSD so I get a little more performance out of the machine just from that standpoint. But got to save the nickels and dimes to buy the next drive before I do that. Okay. You know, iPhone 6, the smashings and the bashings and the droppings are continuing. iPhone 6 was soaked in liquid nitrogen, shatters like Terminator T-1000, dropped in water tests, dropped on concrete. You do not want to drop this phone on the concrete. It's not going to be good, folks. I'm just straight up telling you right now, it's going to be pow. The screen will be finished. So I have some videos for you to watch. Everyone loves bashing iPhones and smashing them and high-speed photography and everything else. So link will be up in the show notes for you to check out. A little more space news. NASA's Maven has entered Mars orbit to sniff its gas. NASA's MABUS Spark has reached Mars after a 10-month journey and started its mission to study the red planet's upper atmosphere. The Mars atmosphere and volatile evolution dropped into orbit around Earth's favorite neighbor around 324 BST. What is that? BST. I don't think I've heard of that one before. British space time? I don't know. After months of journeying through space to do it, the craft had to point its main engines in the direction of its travel and fire them for around 33 minutes in order to capture the orbit. So NASA has a long history of scientific discovery, of course, so this thing is sniffing the atmosphere around Mars. And so this is, what, the fourth satellite we've got circling Mars already? All right, let's talk a little bit about iPhone and the and what they saw in sales. Apple saw 10 million iPhones sold in 3 days. That's an incredible number. That sets a lot of records. The iPhone 6 has been reporting some issues with Wi-Fi and battery drainage. So there'll probably be a patch coming pretty quickly. But long story short here, if you're using Wi-Fi on the iPhone 6, you may see some issues. There's also been some speed tests done with the iPhone 6 and iPhone 6 Plus. And boy, I'm going to tell you something. It's not a quad core. It's a dual core phone, but it has come in some benchmarks that are basically destroying the majority of other phones that are out there, which surprises me here from a response time and stuff. You know, they basically, the SunSpider 1.02 benchmark, Chrome, Safari, and IE, the iPhone 6 beat just about everyone in its class by a significant amount. And there's a whole bunch of test results where the iPhone 6 really came out on top. The only thing that it really didn't come out is a couple of 3D mark tests. It was kind of mid-range. And also on some where there was actually some heavy-duty physics calculations going on, was a little bit lower. But this is... pretty impressive results, near the top of everything, and I think it surprised people just a little bit on the benchmarks. I'll have that link up for you in the show notes tonight at geeknewscentral.com. Also, another great video of a guy that basically fixed his iPhone 6 biggest design flaw by using a grinder to grind down the camera until it was perfectly flush with the body. Why do people do these things? Really? Come on now. Let's... you know, it's a great way to throw, you know, $600,000 to $700,000 away. It's nuts. But one thing they are finding is that the iOS 8 crash rate is found to be higher. Now, I've been having a few problems with this phone, and of course, this is an iPhone 5. And before the iOS 8 update came out, I had been having some troubles with this periodically. So, but I do find that if I've had the phone off and I turn it on, it's like it takes longer to boot. It'll show you the Apple icon, and then for a little while, it's kind of like chugging. It takes a little bit to get to where it needs to be before it starts working right. I don't know how to fully explain it. It's almost like a computer that hasn't fully booted up. You know how it is when you get a machine and you're trying to do something and it won't do it? It's very annoying. Shutting down on the iPhone 5 on iOS 8, used to give you a little spin wheel that it was shutting down. Not anymore. It just goes black. And then you start pressing the button, not knowing when the phone has been shut down to restart it. It's a couple of kind of a weird things I've seen with iOS 8, but they are seeing higher crash rates on all devices. 3.56%, which is about a percentage point higher than... other devices that are other iPhones that are in the space right now. So, or earlier versions of the operating system like iOS 7. So, excuse me. Definitely something to be concerned about here. Maybe a little quality control dropping at Apple. Also, you can downgrade to iOS 7.1.2. It's still available. So, if you're not impressed by iOS 8 and are wondering to downgrade your from the previous firmware, you're still going to be able to get iOS 7.12 for a little while here. They're going to close the downgrade window soon, so don't waste any time if you want to downgrade, okay? And they don't accidentally hit the upgrade button later. New Skype for iOS 8 uses extensions for answering calls, And basically, you can get access from the iPhone lock screen. These extensions are pretty cool. I downloaded the new iPhone, the new Skype, and actually was doing some tests with it after seeing this article. So it's a pretty cool stuff what they're doing here. But again, it allows Skype notifications to appear right on the lock screen of the phone. These are actual notifications based on the lock screen and through the regular drop-down notification method. So one tap picks up the call on Skype. And again, it's available on the iTunes App Store right now for if you're a heavy Skype user. Good article over at Engadget talking about how Microsoft is making it easier for students to get an Office 365 at no cost. You know, my daughter paid for, when we bought her new laptop, she got a PC, pretty nice laptop, about $800 we paid for it. They offered us Office 365, I think a 3 or 4 year license for, I think for $100. So now, and this was under their Student Advantage program, but now Microsoft's made it possible for 35,000 educational institutions across the globe to receive a free access to Office 365. As part of that, students and teachers alike could get a subscription to the productivity software at no cost to them, so long as their schools enrolled in the initiative. So you have to be, up to this point, you had to work with the IT department at the school to get access. But now Microsoft simplified the process, opening up a self-service for students to get the license without the need to check with the IT department. Those who qualify will still need a valid .edu email address to receive the free subscription from a school that's currently participating. So all students here in Hawaii, if you go to either a community college that's affiliated with the University of Hawaii, you get a edu address. So it shouldn't be a problem, at least for my daughter's already paid for it. So, you know, a little late on the draw there, Microsoft. You got money, all the students going back, and you made this offer available later. Smart move. Adobe has bought Avari, a suite of mobile editing tools used by several companies, including Flickr, as well as standalone Avery app. Of course, given Adobe's recent push on mobile editing, this makes a lot of sense. So what happens here? Kinja.com, factually.gizmodo.com. If you're interested in sewers in Paris, it talks about how they unplug their sewers. It's one of those weird tidbits. Over on the dailytech.com, a year after it was first announced, PlayStation TV headed to the United States for $99. So this is kind of cool. Because if you're a PlayStation fan and you had what it was called in Japan was PlayStation Vita TV. Again, it's a set-top box. It was, again, available in Japan over a year ago. But for $99, come on, load. There it goes. Hate this when this is doing this. There we go. For $99, you get a device that not only streams video content, but will also give you access to play any PlayStation Vita game on your big screen TV. Sony says that nearly 700 games will be supported at launch. When the console launches for $139, you'll get the PlayStation TV, a DualShock 3 controller, 8 gigs of memory, USB cable, HDMI cable, and the Lego Movie game. Sony also indicates that a special warm-up bundle will include all the previously mentioned items in addition to Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time for the same $139 price tag. So, again, not only is Roku and Apple getting into the gaming space with these set-top boxes, so is Sony and the PlayStation TV be available very, very soon here in the United States. How many of you are going to go out and run and get one? I'll probably do that here. Big fan of the Vita. Okay, what is 4K? Well, 4K is starting to, you know, be promoted a lot more, even though there's not a lot of content. But something that was cool that was announced today was that the new USB reversible Type-C connector that we're starting to see being introduced is also going to be able to pipe, 4K video, audio, and high-speed data, and 100 watts of power through the Type-C port. So this would make a USB port 100% capable of driving a monitor on a display port. So this is very, very, very cool. What it's worth, HDMI, DVI, and VGA adapters could become obsolete in some instances. So getting a DisplayPort signal through the Type-C cable involves running the data along two of the four USB 3.1 lanes up to 5.4 gigs. And if you're using a DisplayPort 1.28 compatible device, or up to 8.1 gigs with the latest specification at 1.3. So this is some cool stuff, and this is coming. So this is a DisplayPort continues to rack up. And you guys know what a DisplayPort is. You can get a monitor that doesn't have a power plug. But if it's DisplayPort capable, you just plug it in. As long as you have a DisplayPort capable device, it'll drive the video on that monitor without having to run a power cord to it. And pretty slick operation. I've seen a number of those monitors. They're not bad in resolution. They do a good job. So definitely something to consider if you're looking for a second monitor and your laptop or desktop will support it. A Japanese company is planning to have a workspace elevator by 2050. Excuse me, working space elevator by 2050. You know, NASA's been working hard for years to find necessary materials to do just that. But an Australian broadcast company reports that Obayashi says it's working to build a space elevator that can reach 96,000 kilometers, roughly 60,000 miles into space, capable of transporting people and cargo at a much lower cost than rockets traditionally launched from the Earth. The trip on Obayashi's space elevator is said to take a total of 7 days one way, with the destination being a space station that could be built specifically for this scenario. This is going to be tough, but we'll see what happens over the next, 30 some years to make this happen. A lot of technology will be needed. I should still be around to see that, unless I stroke out or something. Hey, if you want to know how the Pirate Bay operates, well, there's a good article over on Torrent Frink. The Pirate Bay runs on 21 RAID-proof virtual machines. So it talks about how their system layout is, which is pretty cool. It's always cool to see someone's infrastructure layout and how they do load balancing and everything else. If you're a Lyft user or if you're a Lyft driver and got in on a plan to buy, basically bought the premium SUV package that Lyft was promoting. Some early drivers for Lyft Plus are nice, basically on the street. Lyft has canceled that part of the program, and they're trying to make it right by compensating the drivers that had bought those Ford Explorers that were part of that Lyft Plus team. And what it was you could get picked up by a much more fancy vehicle. And these guys had to have a specific vehicle modified a certain way. But Lyft has basically said, hey, go ahead. And if you want to sell the vehicle, fine. We'll make the difference so that you don't lose no money. Or we'll give you an extra $10,000 to offset any impact it may have. So some folks are selling. Some people are taking the money. So at least Lyft's doing the right thing. And because they canceled a program, it was part of the agreement they had. They had to have a certain vehicle. They're making it right with these folks. So good on Lyft. Of course, we talked about the Alibaba stock offering, and I'm going to tell you, these banks, you know, they got the stock for $52. You know, it opened at 68 and automatically went to 90. These banks all doubled their money. So the average Joe didn't get, you know, you and I can't buy that stock. You know, we have to know, you have to be pretty high in the totem pole to do that. And when you are, you get, you know, you only get so much, and you know, it's just like, if it's free money on most of these deals like this. And, but there's a great article that's over on battlemedia.com. And it brings up a lot of points that I've been saying about the Chinese companies in the United States stock market. Fab Universal, which is the owners of Libsyn. You know, they were delisted because of stuff that was going on. Fab Universal was delisted because of some supposed impropriety in reporting and cash accounting and a variety of different other things. So a lot of these companies that have, the Chinese companies that have either reverse acquired or acquired or however they ever got on the New York Stock Exchange, they've been dropping like flies because of the reporting and accounting practices of those companies. So it is a situation here where this gentleman that wrote this article brings this up. He says, hey, you know, I've got concerns. It's controlled by a corrupt government. People don't understand their product. It's got, growth, the potential that's kind of murky beyond its own core market. And of course, all the accounting practices that could go on to cook the books. So as much as you would like to have been on the early offering of this, I think that probably the institutional investors will get it and dump it. You know, and then this could be very dangerous. So I, from owning the stock, I would be very, on a long-term basis, very hesitant to put my money out there with Alibaba. Do your due diligence on these folks before you do that. But just be aware, it could go upside down in a hurry, especially if they all of a sudden, the earnings reports don't add up and so forth. All right, last couple articles here. Apple was reported, it was all over the news this morning, that they were killing off Beats Music Cloud, and they're not. And they're not killing off Beats. There may be some rebranding happening, but Beats is not going away. Apple's basically come back and said, no, we're not doing that. So if you're a Beats fan, just be aware of that. There's a great article in the Washington Post, and there's supposed to be a great article on podcasting on the Washington Post tomorrow. Matter of fact, I'm going to start Googling for it as soon as I get done with the show tonight. But I was interviewed and other people were interviewed, but there's a good article on the, going back to this show, there's a good article about how airlines explain net neutrality. This is, if you didn't understand net neutrality, if you just don't get it, read this article because it's going to give you the analogy of what net neutrality would look like in the airline business. Basically saying that like the first class customers would arrive at their destination like an hour before coach where they would have to fly each section of the airplane, at different speeds and altitudes and so forth. It's pretty good. It really, really is. And, it's funny. And there's a lot of, heavy hitters in this article too. Tim Berners, of course, Tim Berners-Lee is credited with inventing the World Wide Web, lashed out at the plan that's being, basically talked about, calling the concept a form of bribery. Again, trolls. So I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, new Gmail accounts no longer require Google Plus profiles. I wish I could have like one for all, because like we use Gmail as part of our corporate stuff at robvoice.com. It's basically when I log into my webmail at robvoice.com, it looks just like my Gmail account. But I have my Gmail account on my Geek News account. I don't want anyone following my Raw Voice profile because it gets confusing. There would have to be two. It'd be nice if I could link one to two email accounts. I think that would be better, but they don't allow me to do that. That's a big issue on a lot of different sites, especially when you have personal and business. And quite frankly, I'd follow two separate groups of people, personal and business, but I don't want to have to manage both. I just want to go one place at one time. There's really no way around that. I wish they would give us the ability to link them. All right, have you ever heard about a dealership stealing a car that they just sold you? Well, if you're getting ready to buy a used car, I would advise you to read this article, especially if your credit is not quite where it needs to be. It's maybe not bad, but not super great. You'll definitely want to read this and know what to be prepared for with some of the stuff that's going on with some of the lot owners of used cars and some of the deals they're doing and how they may come a couple days after you buy the vehicle and basically take it back to the lot. So anyway, good article on that. All right, that brings us to the end of the regular content tonight. Let me go ahead and load the email up because I know a few things came in via email. Just as a reminder, and I don't think I've talked about this, at Podcast Movement Conference, Steve Lee announced National Podcast Day, which will become a yearly event to promote, educate, and raise awareness about podcasting. This year is the first year since it's the 10th anniversary of podcasting, National Podcast Day is slated for September 30th. And more information can be found at nationalpodcastday.com. And I would like all of you guys' assistance in promoting National Podcast Day. And I want all of you to you really help us kind of celebrate as we hit the 10th anniversary, really, of podcasting. Let's all engage and start the conversation about the National Podcast Day at nationalpodcastday.com. And good on Steve. Steve Lee was with us for CES 1 year. He does a number of shows. He's a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, just like I am. He's got a number of shows. Waves of Tech, I believe, is one of them. So definitely check out Steve's site on the National Podcast Day this coming September 30th. Do want to thank Tim for his email. And let me see the post here. Let me bring it up. It talks about the High Line in New York. Todd, he says, it's a real interesting concept for a park in New York City. It's built on elevated rail line across part of New York City. Amazing way to reclaim space. So link will be up in the show notes on that. Got an email from Dino. He says, hey, Todd, here's an article on... Okay, so let me first of all read Dino's email. Dino goes, as far as Apple and customer privacy, do not forget that Apple was serious about consumer privacy before the iCloud celebrity leaks. Just days after the leaks, Apple did patch up a security vulnerability that was brought to their attention. Whether this vulnerability was or was not the culprit, their security was relatively weak by some standards to begin with. Only now have they tightened up iCloud security. This is true. That being said, if you read through Tim Cook's open letter, it's pretty much what you expect from a CEO. Somewhat vague, no guarantees, and overall designed to put the consumer at ease. The fact is, Tim Cook is going to say whatever he needs to say to sell more of his product and gain customers' confidence. That's his job. I agree. At no point in my years of following tech have I ever witnessed Apple, or at least Tim Cook, flat out admit any fault or vulnerability with their product or services. If they do, you can expect a very vague PR-ish response that almost always protects Apple. The writing is usually on the wall. And while some may look at Tim Cook's open letter and iOS 8 encryption as an act of genuine customer concern, I see a company that just released Apple Pay and is doing what it can to reassure users to use their products. Apple is a for-profit company, a $600 billion one at that. They're masters of customer relations and damage control that every company should take notes from. Half the service success is due to it. But to believe that Apple generally holds a higher customer concern and ethical standard than anyone else is simply naive. How quickly you forget the fixed ebook pricing ordeal, Steve Jobs' anti-employee poaching agreement, which there was a lot of other companies involved as well, and the handful, and I ad-libbed that, and a handful of employee lawsuits. Apple's in fact a company just like anyone else, and they will succumb to any pressure if it threatens the bottom line. I fully agree on that, Dino. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But I think at the same time, a lot of companies have had a lot of security issues. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. I don't think we're going to get by it by any means with any company anytime soon. It won't be the first, will not be the last time that an Apple product is bypassed. But when big national companies like Home Depot and Google and a lot of other companies are being social engineered and having their point of sale systems hacked, we didn't talk about that many years ago as being a weak point, because we've talked about that in this show here. I think it just goes to show that the IT guys are going to have to do what IT guys do. They're going to have to start making sure that products are locked down in a, you know, very highly organized way. You know, that's one of the things, even with the stuff we do at Raw Voice and our commerce system, you know, it took a lot longer to get it on the street than what I really preferred. But, you know, and I'm not saying that it's 100%, but I know Angelo went back and over and crisscrossed and went through certifications and validations and triple checked and quadruple checked. And there was all kinds of tests and certifications we had to get just to make sure that when we processed someone's credit card, number one, I didn't hold their data. And number two, that, you know, where that transaction occurred, all that was, you know, encrypted and our customer's data was safe. And last thing I want to do is get into a situation where I just did with Home Depot, where I got a notice from them saying, hey, you can get a 1 year free of a credit monitoring because we screwed up and your credit card was compromised. So this is big in the space of companies like Target, Home Depot, Apple. You're right. All of them are susceptible to that. Now, he provided me another link to an article that was over on TechRadar talking about Google. But I think the key here to remember and the thing that they've said and we have to acknowledge is that when you hold an Android device and you log into Gmail, your email has been indexed and they're going to serve you ads against that content. Now, a machine may be doing it, but they are still doing it. Apple has said they don't care about what you do with the phone and the stuff. They're saying they are not going to use our data against us. They're selling devices and software. Now, they've got some pretty strong policies in place for their app developers too. Now, what happens over the long term? I don't know, but I think they made a good point. And I think it's one that Google is going to have to address at some point. Privacy is becoming a big, big, big issue. But I think they did strike a nerve and a correct one, irregardless of them having a security issue. You know, it was about the privacy part that they were promoting, saying, hey, we're not interested in, you know, what you ate for lunch. We want to make sure you have a good hardware experience and software experience. So if I'm wrong, you guys definitely let me know on this and definitely provide me more feedback. I'd appreciate it. Got an email from MS Small Biz. He says, doesn't this prove, and this goes, he says, Cloudflare shows us SSL is used today is broken by offering to run man-in-the-middle attack. So basically, this is an article over on Ars, and it was an in-depth of how Cloudflare's new web service promises security without the key, and it just talks about SSL sockets and some of the stuff that's going on. But he says, doesn't this prove SSL as used today is busted and wide open to any man-in-the-middle attack? Anyone, insert NSA, could do the same and probably is if you read the Snowden leaks. At the key exchange point, this is presented, Cloudflare clearly has access to the key exchange, meaning they can decrypt all data passing between the client and destination server on the fly. Such man-in-the-middle attacks are why I will not do any banking or accessing of sites which contains my private data over public Wi-Fi. I have even gone so far as using SSL fingerprint comparison app on my phone to compare the stored SSL cert on the phone which I transferred to it via my own network to the one being used for the SSL sessions for connecting to my email to look for any differences. But in this type of attack, and this is an attack, I don't think my SSL checker would see a difference. And it talks about how it's susceptible, how the man in the middle is basically can plug in is still going to have an advantage in basically detecting stuff that are having access to information they shouldn't. All right, that kind of brings us to the end here. I'm long. Sorry. Love you guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. And I hope we brought some value to you tonight and some good information. Definitely send your comments via email, geeknews@gmail.com. You can also tweet me or send me, like Tim does, send me links on Facebook, Google Plus, really every place we hang out at. Those links are all in the second column of the website. You can get connected. And of course, we want to hear from you. I definitely want to continue to grow my relationship with all of you in this audience. So definitely drop me a line from time to time and tell me what you're up to. And make sure that if you haven't emailed before, that you do a little bit of an introduction, give me a 411 background on you. I definitely appreciate it when you do that. And again, think about becoming an insider, and we hope that you support our sponsors here at Geekness Central. As always, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you back here on Thursday for a Friday morning release. And until then, everyone take care. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Aloha.